FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
Hello everybody and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club, right here on North Manchester 106.6 FM on a Monday evening and across the world on the FC United of Manchester podcast channel. And joining me for a little pre-match chat before the Banbury United game on Saturday, we're joined by Mr. Saturday himself, it's Stato Paul.
Good afternoon.
FC United taking on Banbury United today. Before we talk about this particular game, let's look back now on Tuesday night, FC United travelling to Merseyside to take on City of Liverpool, and here's all the goals. Da Costa does well and wins it back, and Obeng takes over. Obeng into the penalty area. Good save by Hamer. Breaks to Da Costa, he shoots. And Hamer again save, with another good save. And the score remains 0-0, but good stuff again down that left-hand side.
I mean, it looked like Sandro had lost that then. Did well to keep hold of it.
Good ball by Taylor down the line for Anderson to chase onto. Anderson rides the challenge and keeps possession from the byline on the right towards the back post. Breaks through Obeng. Doesn't sell for him. McCarthy, side-foots it. And to be fair, that's the best McCarthy could do with what he had there. And it was a good save by Hamer. But City Liverpool with a free kick over on the right-hand side, which drilled in low. And that's a great ball in and a fantastic header from Adam Hughes. Lavercum with a valiant attempt to try and save it, but it was a great free kick in. But it was a free header, though, Woods.
It was poor defending. I've got to say, that wasn't great defending. It was a good ball in, like you say, good delivery. Hughes has done well to find the space, but nobody's gone with him.
Here's City Liverpool on the attack down the left. Another free header into the box. It was James Steele there. Yards from goal and a free header again, Woods. A good ball in, but
it was a good run on the left. Good ball in, but his defence is absolutely nowhere to be seen. I think I could have got the stand and possibly nodded that one to myself.
Here's Ennis now. Ennis switches play. Great ball by Charlie Ennis. And Clive Smith plays it back to the edge of the box. And
that's a beautiful
is
goal.
A wonderful goal from Jack Bennett.
Absolutely
fantastic
wonderful
stuff.
Goal.
Started off with Ennis, switching the ball out to Smith over on the far side. Smith plays it back in field straight away, and there was Bennett, who had time for a touch and a volley into the bottom corner, and it's 2-1. Hi Neil, how are you? What have you taken from that tonight?
Brilliant, loads.
Go
absolutely
on,
loads. It's the game that I needed. We're carrying 24 players. We've made a raft wholesale changes. People could argue with the fringe players that have come in. I say not. And all I said to the lads before we went out is control the controllables. Do the things that we want you to do. But it coming at half time and lads hadn't done that. You know, and that as a manager is quite pleasing. Because you don't want the Friday of the 12th of August to come round and 24 lads have been at it all pre-season. Yeah, it'd be great if it happened. But then it makes your job impossible. And what happens is tonight is that people, not purposely, but they kind of fall out the reckoning and show that they're maybe not up to the required standard. You know, since Regan Linney went away, have we nailed the 10 shirt off Max McCarthy? No, we haven't. You know, have we done enough in wide areas? No, we haven't. Have we done enough midfield without Ennis and Vincent Tatt? No, we haven't. You know, have we made elementary mistakes at the back without Jones? Yes, we have. So, for me, it's really good because you go away from it and you've learned so much.
Just to ask you, though, there is only three games left of pre-season. Is that now your mind made up, or is it still, is it like 50-50 for some players, or 70-30?
Going into tonight, you know, for me now it's about the squad starting against Atherton. I think 8 or 9 players currently are talking their way into a starting 11 shirt, and I think fans who've been there and yourselves, you could probably name them who they are. But then you need to look at the bench to make sure that you've got enough quality, enough strength off the bench. But then, you know, you never say never. You know, Harry McGee's rolled his ankle last 15 minutes, didn't look like he could carry on. Woolerton's going to be out 3 or 4 weeks. Griffiths is out 3 or 4 weeks. I've learnt tonight that someone's going on holiday and only going to be back on the day of the Atherton game. I've learnt again last night that two lads are going away on holiday and all going to be back on the Thursday before Atherton. So people talk themselves out of the squad. So, but for me, it was a case of tonight. Can we do things that we've been doing against Doncaster? You know, and I've got to reiterate, Ben, have to do that. They came up to us and said, we played Huddersfield last week, who were one kick away from going in the Premier League. We haven't had to change our system for anyone, but they had to change for FC United. Saturday, we couldn't cope with your movement, your rotations.
First 40 minutes.
I was expecting it again tonight, but it didn't happen. So it means that the personnel in there aren't able to carry out. It doesn't mean they're bad footballers. It doesn't mean they can carry out the style of play. But there will be games for them, maybe on Whitby on a Tuesday night or whoever it will be, you know, that type of. But if we're looking to play football on a really good pitch, we need people who can receive the ball in good areas, who'll get forward without being told, and recover the shape. So I've learnt loads tonight. I'm quite happy.
Yeah, you mentioned the bench. We should just mention one of the few highlights from tonight was the Jack Bennett goal. I mean, that was pretty special, wasn't it? Right at the end there. I mean, it was Ennis to Smith back in field. Boom, goal. And that's nice when that works out.
The kid defying medical science beyond belief. I mean, how he doesn't need an ACL reconstruction, it's beyond belief. But the kid is such a good player. He's limited for 15 minutes at the minute, but what a goal. You know, what a play we've got on our hands. And he went to see a surgeon last week, and the surgeon couldn't name the Premier League player, but he said there's a player who's gone 8 years with a torn ACL who's played right through and just doesn't need, there's that 1% who don't need an operation, and hopefully Jack doesn't need an operation and he can come into the fold and he'll be a really good player. But great finish. But saying that, you know, if I'm going to really look at it, Kurt Cobain should score in the first half, Max McArthur should score in the first half, Harry McGee should score in the second half.
I was going to ask you about Hamer because he's had a belting
game. Anderton, you know, and then we score one at the end. Hamer's come to play, you know, games, and he wants to do that. And
but you can see he's a quality keeper.
Oh, he's a great keeper. Yeah. And, you know, if anything happens to Lavakin, we'd probably come knocking back on Ryan Hamer's door. And I'm sure that what he's had with FC United, he'd come back. But no, listen, all around the park, we've made so many mistakes tonight. You know, how many diagonal balls do we hit? Which we don't hit diagonal balls that don't make its destination through our centre-halves. How many times do we give the ball away at the top end of the field in our full-back areas that we don't used to doing? So, you know, people don't mean to do it, but they have tonight, and there's no hiding place.
So that then takes us to Banbury on Saturday. National League North Banbury now. So they've gone a step up from last year. What's your thoughts on this one? Because we've only got three games left now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having Smith, I can't Clive Smith, Curtis Jones will be back, Charlie Ennis, James Vincent, Eddie Mieko will be back. You know, so it'll be nice. It'll be a good test for the lads.
Are you going to take this next three games as the run up to Trafford? State the obvious, the run up to Trafford to Coles is, or are you going to do a couple more mix and match?
No, I'm probably going to be nailing it now. The problem is now, Woolerton, who's done really well, is injured, so he'll miss a couple of weeks. Linney's still not back, so he'll miss that. So you can't probably roll out your lads that you want to roll out, but you know, you'll start to see the same seven or eight names now over the next three games that are likely to start the Atherton game. And that's not because of any other reason apart from consistency and fitness in pre-season. So, you know, as a fan, you should be able to go, yeah, Curtis Jones, you know, yeah, Clive Smith, yeah, James Vincent, yeah, Regan Linney.
But
you should be able to see it.
You can see it,
that's what I mean. Woodsy, that's what I mean. And you know, that as a fan, I'd want to know, turn up on match day, them lads, it should be to get to know the lads and going, yeah, Vincent will play there. And yeah, but listen, Vincent has an off day or two off day, three off day, he's found himself on the bench, but currently in pre-season, he's been a good performer. Absolutely. Donoghue has come back in, has been brilliant. He's another name that will go on there. But these lads won't get complacent. They won't think, oh yeah, I've just made it. Because the season pros, season in, season out, and they've all been sat down, and they won't want to sit down. They don't know what's sat down or could take their place. So, but that's pre-season. And I said to the lads all along, I won't get bored of saying it, don't knock on my door on the 13th of August. The squad will pick itself because you've done enough in pre-season and you'll all get the same amount of minutes. I will pay special mention to one person tonight because I thought it was excellent, Chris Taylor. I thought he was brilliant. I thought, you know, fine wine gets
right,
better with age.
Right back.
And, you know, just for minutes waiting to midfield. But you can see why he's gone and played how many games. He knows he's coming to the end of his career, but he's just, you know, he's great for the younger lads to be around. And, you know, if he can, I'm sure Chris will stay in the squad at 20, even when he's not playing. You know, he works with me every day. But that's what I'm saying to young lads, great attitude. You know, just keep believing and stick at it and enjoy the ride because it's over before you know it.
Well, I don't want to end the interview on that because that's quite sad.
Well, you know, but Tim's study when he wants to go home, to be fair.
All right. Well, Neil, big thank you for joining us and best of luck ahead of Banbury.
Another cup up for grabs, is it?
It's Sports Direct. Yes.
So we've gone to another trophy for grabs and thanks for tonight. And, you know, what we can't wait for is training Thursday.
Yeah.
We feel like we haven't trained for ages because of games. We've been away. So it gives us a chance to work on set pieces. We definitely need to consider two. Yeah. Balls off headers tonight, which we don't usually do, so just shows when you haven't had a chance to work on things you can see. But no, happy, and like I said, there's no points over grabs, and you know, gives us a bit of a shock. But City Liverpool, good side, and you know, wish them all the best.
Neil Reynolds there, manager of FC United, speaking to me on Tuesday night after that 2-1 defeat to City Liverpool. Back-to-back losses now. Stato Paul, what do you think?
Well, we all know that friendlies are not so much about results, they're about performances. And managers will always say this. Fans don't get that, because fans pay money and expect you to go out and win, no matter who you're playing. I think that sometimes the manner of performance can mean a lot more than the result. And I don't think FC did themselves justice against City Liverpool. Whereas the Doncaster game, up against very, very high-ranked opposition, a league side, I think we caused them a few problems. And I think that result was not an issue. I think he'll be a bit more disappointed with his players after the midweek game.
Interesting since that, because hearing from Neil then, he was quite, not happy isn't the right phrase, but he was picking the positives out of it, because heading into the Doncaster game, we were speaking, you know, me and Joe were talking last week, and speaking to Woods on Tuesday, about the selection headaches Neil's got. And he was quite relieved that suddenly we're starting to see a couple of, what's the word, a couple of question marks over some players in the squad. And that means that it makes his selection headaches a bit easier come the 13th of August.
Yeah, he said that he wants to start with a squad of 20, which means he has to lose four or five players now before the start of the season. There are two players for one position in a lot of situations, and the players, he's always said that the players themselves will decide who's here at the start of the season by their performances, and some players have shone and made it obvious. I'll give you an example, James Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
He looks nailed on, very solid midfielder that's going to anchor the whole side. Other players have not shone in quite the same way, and their futures are in slightly more doubt.
Well, two players whose futures are a bit more crystallised this past week is Max McCarthy, striker for FC United, who started against Bury, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And really impressed in that game, and then really, really impressed on the trip to Jersey. And he put pen to paper this week, signing for the club, which is great news. And Tim caught up with Max McCarthy earlier in the week.
Hi Max, welcome to FC. FC fans will have seen you playing in a few friendlies, most notably in Jersey, where you had you scored a couple of really good goals. How have you found it?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. I've got on with everyone really well since coming in. I played in the friendly against Bury on the Tuesday, and then after that I was invited to Jersey with the squad, which I was obviously very pleased about. And yeah, Jersey was a really good experience, good little tournament for the lads to get going just before the season kicks in. Obviously picking up a few goals as well, obviously it's a great thing for a striker, and yeah, I've loved it since coming here.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things about those sort of trips away is obviously you get to bond with the players. How have you found the dressing room?
The lads have been brilliant, yeah. As soon as I came in on the first game, everyone was really, really good with me. It's a great place to be. So far, everything's been brilliant as well with the lads as well. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed it so far. Great lads.
And obviously, I mean, it's fair to say you're quite a tall lad, 6'5".
Yeah.
Yeah, striker, I mean, height is a superb sort of attribute to have. What else can you bring to the club?
I think I'm quite a diverse player. I know I might be 6'5", but I think I can also do a lot of running for the team or work hard for the team. I'm not just going to be a target man. I can do that as well, but I can also run for the team and work hard.
Okay, and a little bit about your playing career. You joined us from Stoke.
I was with Stoke under 23s for a year. I came there from Congleton Town. They picked me up last pre-season. I was there for a year. Unfortunately, released in May, but obviously I've found somewhere great now in FC. That's a great club going in the right direction, so I'm really happy to be here.
Okay, and I won't put you on the spot. Obviously, you've got a target for the season.
We'll say 15. We'll say 15 goals.
You're a brave man. We usually say, to give us your target, you say, it's in my head, and I'll tell you at the end. And assists, I guess, are going to be part of your game as
well. Obviously, I'm always happy to help the team out and get assists any way I can. Winning things and winning trophies is what we want to do, and obviously getting promoted, so I'm happy to help the team in any way I can.
Max McCarthy there speaking to Tim. Max McCarthy's been impressive. Another player who's been impressive, who's also signed this week, is a bit of a surprise, but not if you've seen him play, Guy Hall, who we saw against Fulwood Amateurs, playing for Fulwood Amateurs at the start of pre-season. Now he's left back for FC United.
It's a meteoric rise, isn't it, from the ranks of Fulwood? But to be fair, he has impressed. He's not looked out of place during the friendlies he's featured in, and it's a position that we needed to sort out. And it's losing Matt Adam Dodd was a big loss. We've got a few options there now, and he happens to be a very good one of those options. And He's a young lad and he's got a lot to learn, but he's got great potential.
Well, let's hear from Guy Hall now. He too caught up with Tim earlier in the week.
Obviously, FC fans who were at the first pre-season friendly game of the season would have seen you playing for Forward Amateurs. Tell us how the move to FC came about.
Yeah, so it was a really good game. First game of pre-season. I was playing forward at the time, playing left back. Spoke to Ren after the game, was impressed with me, asked me to come down. And yeah, it's just come down to training, had a game at Longridge, and yeah, been playing ever since.
Yeah, and obviously you went to Jersey with the team. How did you find that experience?
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, really good bonding session. Two tough games took place, especially the first game, Cray Wanderers. They were a good side. But yeah, overall a good experience. Good to meet all the lads properly. Good to, like you say, a bit of a bonding session. And yeah, really happy with it.
And you've played, I mean, you've played like quite a few games since then, haven't you?
Yeah, I've played a few games at Broadhurst Park. Those are the ones I remember especially. I think the atmosphere in here is brilliant. And so I've been really impressed with the fans so far, as well as the coaching staff and everything at the club, really.
Fantastic. And a little bit about yourself. So obviously, you come through the ranks at Fullwood. Talking about your attributes, what would you say your strengths are?
I'd say I'm quite quick off the mark. Yes, as a fullback, you have to usually be quite quick, deal with the pacey wingers. I like to drive with the ball, I like to swing my left foot at it sometimes as well, try and provide some assists or the occasional goal as well.
Okay, well, fantastic. Thank you once again, and welcome to FC United.
Thank you very much.
Guy Hall there, left back for FC United. I bet he loves me saying that, doesn't he?
It sounds very nice to him, considering where he was a few weeks ago. But.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, well, Guy Hall doesn't start today, though. He's on the substitutes bench, but Max McCarthy does start. We'll be bringing you all the goals and reaction to FC United's match against Banbury United shortly. But before the game today, Paul, and you got name dropped in this. FC United of Manchester, from RMI to Rimini, a brand new book from Carl Ladley. We'll be hearing from Carl in a second. But you've got the new book.
It's an excellent read. The detail in it is terrific. There are things in it that I did not know about. There's Carl and myself have kept stats for FC right from the beginning, virtually. And Carl's been the one brave enough to actually put it all together and put it in a book and sell it. And of course, the proceeds go 100% to the club. So it's an excellent read, and you're also helping out the club by buying it. The detail in it, though, is terrific. Profiles of every single player that has put on an FC shirt in a competitive game. You can't ask for much more than that.
No, you really can't. For more on this book now, Tim caught up with Carl Ladley to find out more.
The idea first came about quite a few years ago, back end of 2013, really. A conversation between myself, Steve Wood, Paul Hinson, you know, from the radio crew. And the idea then was to produce a book on the club's history to ahead of the club's 10th anniversary in 2015. Obviously, that never got off the ground. We never materialised that one. But at that point, I kind of started writing player profiles, compiling those, writing season reviews, and I just kind of kept it up over the years until everything came ready. In that time, Steve also came up with an idea that we give every single player a unique number, and I've taken that into the book as well. So the number refers to the order that the player first played his first game for United, made his debut. So number one is Barry George, and we go all the way up to number 373, James Vincent, who made his debut at Rimini just a few weeks ago.
It sounds like an absolute labour of love. Can you tell us some sort of like particular highlights or the content of the book that people...
So it's broken down into maybe three particular areas. We've got season reviews. So there's a first one for the very first season. So that goes on for quite a few pages, review of each particular season. We then have the stats from each season, all the lineups, all the players, all the appearance numbers. And towards the back, we got a profile of each player. Every single one of those 373. And then we finish at the back with just the honours and records section. So just to finish it off with a bit of statistical information.
So, I mean,
there.
Obviously you started writing it, you said towards the sort of like 9 years after the FC started.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, yeah.
And it's been 8 years in the making.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I've been working on it 8 years solid. The idea was always to bring it out during the summer after a season. So, we don't get overtaken by the new season starting. I didn't ever want to bring it out in the middle of a season. It had to be a summer. There's been quite a few summers since the 10th anniversary where the club was in a little bit of turmoil, so it wasn't quite the right time to do it. But I'd held on for so long, I just thought, I've got to get it done, got to get it out of the way. Finally, it's seen the light of day now.
Fantastic way to end the book with Rimini.
Yeah, the Phoenix Trophy. That's exactly what I was thinking halfway through the season that just finished. That if we can finish that, it'll be the perfect time to actually finally get this book out.
And it goes on sale on Saturday?
On Saturday, yeah, the Bamburgh United friendly. So it'll be available. Anyone who's pre-ordered can come and pick it up there if they're at the game, or it'll be posted out the next week. If anyone's not pre-ordered, you can pick it up then. We've got two or three ex-players along who'll be coming if anyone wants to get the book signed. And obviously, Reynolds going to be here in the current squad. So, yeah, hopefully we'll shift a few copies on Saturday.
Well, fantastic. I mean, it's £17, and I'm sure you'd sign every copy.
It's £17 for a particular reason, because we've been going 17 years. So for every pound you spend, you get a year's worth of information in the book. So that's the significance of that one.
When you put it like that, it's an absolute bargain.
I hope so.
Okay, well, congratulations. It's an amazing piece of work. I had a quick look through it now. Can't wait to get my own copy so I can just pour through it. Congratulations.
Thank you. I hope everyone will like it.
Carl Ladley there speaking to Tim, author of FC United Manchester from RMI to Rimini. And you were talking before that interview, Paul, just about the list of players. And I think it's brilliant, this. Basically numbered in order of appearance. So number one is Barry George, because he was in goal against Leek CSOB back in the day. It's a nice touch, that, isn't it?
It is, and there's a lot of things that he didn't have room to put in the book, so there's maybe room for a follow-up. But there's also a review of each season, which is very nice, so you can look back on a season and say, who featured in it, what happened, what position did we finish in, where did we go in the cups, that kind of thing. So it's a very well-structured book, and it's been in the making for many, many years, and at last it's hit the shelves.
You can find out more about the book on the FC United website, fc-utd.co.uk. But one of those players I just spoke about there, Barry George, the Barry George, is actually here today.
Yes, signing the book.
And let's hear from him now.
Hi, Barry, and welcome back to FC. You're here today to sign Carl Ladley's new book from RMI to Rimini. You hold the great honour of being player number 001. Have you read your page?
Yes. Yeah, very very happy with it, to be honest, yeah.
OK, you made 32 competitive appearances for FC, but more famously probably, you were FC's first ever goalie in that friendly against Lee RMI back in 2005. Any great memories from that day?
Yeah, it was a game where I don't think I was due to play it, to be honest with you. So it came as a surprise to me. I think Phil Priestley had to go to a wedding. I just took the opportunity. But, I mean, memories, you look back and you just think about the fans, you know, the noise, you know, the atmosphere. It was brilliant, yeah. Yeah, very warm memories of my time at FC.
Yeah, I mean, did it take you by surprise how quickly it sort of went from just, can you come down to play, to, you know, playing in front of 3,000 people at Gig Lane?
Absolutely, you know, because it was nothing I'd ever been through before. You know, I'd played competitive football, but never with that kind of support. So, yeah, it's brilliant. Nothing but great memories, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously 32 appearances competitively for FC. Any particular ones that stand out?
The Lee RMI game was massive. The following game, AFC Wimbledon, was a huge one. All of them, it was a good season, to be honest, yeah. Yeah, I don't think we dropped many games that season. You know, winning the trophy was fantastic. The support that we got in that game as well was huge. But yeah, every game that I played, it was, you know, very good memories.
Well, it's great to see you once again. Obviously, you're going to be pretty busy signing, so thank you.
And, my pleasure.
Yeah, see you again soon.
Thank you, yeah, absolutely.
Barry George there, FC United legend. Number one.
Number one.
Officially number one.
You can't take that away from him.
Going back to that first season, those players. I mean, it's not just him, is it? I think Rawlinson's two, Holmes would be three, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Spencer, number four. Nuge would be five. Yes, Chaddy was five, and Nuge was six.
Chaddy didn't play in the first game.
Yes, he did. He does regret that.
Yeah.
I think he made up for it over time. Yeah. But yeah, it's a cracking book, and yeah, get it bought, basically, is what we're saying. Superb stuff. Right, that's all the pre-match build-up for today with regards to what's been happening this week. But all eyes now turn into this game on Saturday, FC United and Manchester against Banbury United in the Supporters Direct Shield. For all the build-up now, And for all the post-match reaction, let's hand over to the FC Live team. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Broadhurst Park. You join us here for FC Live, brought to you by ConstructedCoding.com. And you lovely people, the Armchair Army, as FC United and Manchester are taking on Banbury United in the final of the Supporters Direct Shield. And joining me for a little pre-match build-up chat, Sato Paul's with us. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
So, Paul, what do you think for today? It's National League North opposition. When they were in the Southern League Central last year, they were pretty comprehensive against us at their place. What do you think for this match?
Yeah, it's a stiff task this afternoon. Dan Lavercombe had a moment to forget at Banbury, and he'll want to put that right this afternoon. Yeah, Banbury at a level above us these days, and they'll be out to show us that level above is there for a reason. And it's interesting that they've got one of our old boys.
Yes, and a quiz question that was set for us at the start of this from FC United manager Neil Reynolds, just down pitch side.
Yes, he put us on the spot.
There's an ex-player in the Banbury United team who played for FC United. How many times did he play for FC United? It was revealed it was Alex Baybos. And Paul, within 3 seconds of thinking about it, said the immortal words, six. And guess what, dear listener? Thanks to the book.
No cheating.
Thanks to the book. Good to say where this. Thanks to the book, FC United of Manchester, from RMI to Rimini, Paul could confirm that indeed Alex Baybos has played six times for FC United of Manchester. So Neil said, don't use Google. Why would I use Google when I've got Paul? I've got a Paul. Don't need Google.
There you go.
But yeah, Alex Baybos starting for Banbury United.
We had him on loan from Derby, and he played for Wales under 21s. Very accomplished player, and he played on the right hand side, I think, for us of midfield, and he did play quite well. We were disappointed to lose him when he was recalled, but of course when he was released by Derby, he had a host of clubs after him, and obviously Banbury United have now got his services, so they're quite pleased about that.
And with regards to FC United today, big news this week in Max McArthur signing for us, as did Guy Hall. Does follow on from the game on Tuesday night, which I think Neil took as much positive from it as he could. It was a kind of never got going, really. The only highlight really was Jack Bennett, who fired a wonderful goal right towards the end, coming off the substitutes bench. But it answered a few questions, I think, that game for Neil, and kind of helpful with three pre-season friendlies left.
Yeah, I think he's obviously got to shed a few players before the season starts, and one or two have made a good case for being retained. Others have made less of a case, and I'm sure that game will be featuring in his mind when he makes the decisions.
So, starting 11 for FC United today, Dan Lavercombe in goal, Clive Smith at right back, Harrison Webster, Paul, at left back.
Yes, I believe he's a trialist, but we don't know anything about him much, do we? Okay. We might have to.
Tom Murray starts at number four, Andy Halls and Curtis Jones are the centre backs. Then we've got Michael Donoghue, James Vincent, Jack Anderton, Charlie Ennis and Max McCarthy. Substitutes for FC United, Jan Palinkas, Chris Taylor, Eddie Mieko, Guy Hall, Josh Askew and Willem. So, Paul, Neil kind of said we're going to start seeing the players who probably will start against Atherton Colls. I had to stop him from listing all the players on Tuesday night, but he's got a better idea now. When it comes to these performances, the next three games are really important for this 11 and the substitutes as well.
I think it's understandable. The game at Clitheroe, the last friendly, I would expect him to play very close to his league starting 11, barring the odd injury. We've currently got two players out injured, which complicates things a bit. But yes, the closer it gets to the first game against Atherton Colls, the more he will be siding, I think, with the players he wants in the starting 11. It's a very difficult decision to make in certain positions.
One thing we've not tried this season thus far, this pre-season, is three at the back. We haven't done it, have we?
No.
Is that surprising?
I think he's talked about having two set ways of playing this season. There's a 4-5-1.
And a 4-3-3.
Yeah. And I don't think he's entertaining at the moment, the three at the back. We did try it last season. I don't know if you remember, was it the Mass game?
Yes.
Or Whitby? One of them, certainly he did.
It was Whitby. And it really didn't work.
It was catastrophic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I think he's gone off that idea for the time being. I think you need a certain calibre of centre-back to play the three. And if you haven't got three that can play together, then it gets difficult.
Just another point to make. James Vincent playing number eight. Based on the friendlies we've seen as a commentary team, and I include Woodsow in this, I think James Vincent is a shoe-in for number 8 against Atherton Coles. The question mark is number 4. Yeah. Who's getting number 4? Now, Charlie Ennis played 4. Doncaster played 4. And I thought he did a decent job there. But that position is up for grabs. And Tom Murray today is playing there.
Tom Murray's worked very hard in the games I've seen him in. And he's staking his own case for that shirt. It is going to be very interesting because there are a few players who can play that role. Taylor is another one, isn't he, who could be in the reckoning. But
he was full of praise for Taylor on and quite rightly on Tuesday night. He played right back for a lot of the game.
Yes, there are question marks in some of the positions, and like you said, there are 3 games left now, and it's almost like winner takes all, isn't it? It's whoever shines.
Just a reminder of what's coming up for FC United. 3 games left. Banbury United against FC United of Manchester today. Then on Tuesday night, it's Macclesfield, which should be a tough test. And then on Sunday, Clitheroe away. So step 4 opponents there in the final week before the start of the season.
And Clitheroe always give us difficult games.
Yeah.
They were never easy to beat.
Oh, do you remember
the friendly we had here was quite...
Was far from it.
Rumbunctious,
yeah,
you could say.
And I think Neil knows what he's going to get, and that's probably why he's picked that game.
I was very surprised that we've gone back to the well for that one.
Does that not set up Atherton Coles really well, though? Given the fact, you know, Atherton Coles, we know what we're going to get with them.
Possibly.
It's going to be very, very rigid and defensive. And
well, the last time we played Clitheroe, Regan Linney got a serious injury that put him out for some months. But, you know, let's hope that doesn't repeat itself.
Absolutely. Well, this is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. And it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. FC United of Manchester looking for their 4th piece of silverware this summer in the Supporters Direct Shield. A competition we've never won before, actually, because we're normally in the Supporters Direct Cup, aren't we?
So this
could be a first today. Anyway, to commentate on this afternoon in the Supporters Direct Shield, it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team, it's Tato Paul. But first, a welcome back to Mr. James Quinn.
Rasulo is going to take this corner from the right-hand side. The previous corner was well defended by FC. And it comes again. Nice delivery, and it's a volley. Well, it was a volley there from Jack Stevens. And just went over the bar as Connor Roberts spreads it out to the right-hand side, and a nice-looking ball there. And now Morgan Roberts into the box. Morgan Roberts onto his left foot will shoot. He'll shoot straight at Dan Lavercombe. Give and go there. Bebos still has it. Gets another give and go. Threads it through. This time, and a fine bit of goalkeeping there. That was a good move. Flicked through Morgan Roberts, and great commitment from Dan Lavercombe. Came straight out, saw the danger, got in the way. Corner ball. That free kick, Jones wins it well, but it falls for Bebos. Bebos left-footed shot just over the bar. He took that very well there. And a good work there from Mayako again, and Murray gets on the end of it. Murray now thrusting run, thinks about a left-foot shot, and that's the first on-target shot, I think, for FC. Not a great test for Harding. Straight at him, but with pace, and FC are definitely in a more competitive space in this contest in this second period. Linkus, and now that's played forward for McCarthy. McCarthy with a shot, which was too hot to hold for Harding, but he grabs it at the second attempt. And FC United are going to get a big hand when they come off, whatever the result, because the second half performance, I'd say, has been as good a performance as there's been in pre-season. Ennis now. And it comes. Good delivery. It Halls heads it across. McCarthy chips it back. On the volley was Curtis Jones. Couldn't get hold of it. And it's cleared by Banbury. So Donoghue to start. We've got a penalty shootout. It's Donoghue versus Harding. Donoghue. And it's a poor one. And it's a save. Side-footed and not wide enough. Jack Stevens will take the first penalty and try and score the first goal in this penalty shootout. So Lavercombe, superb goalkeeper.
Stevens was the youngest starter in the 11, 21.
So it shows some faith in him. What can Lavercombe do here? As Banbury looks to draw first blood. Oh, yes, wrong-footed Lavercombe. It's 1-0. The pressure's on FC now. Ennis now, can he make it 1-1? Oh, that, you see, that is a perfect penalty. The keeper went the right way, but it was so well placed it hit the side netting. Yeah. So Henry Landers, who came on as a sub, to make it 2-1 if he can. No, he can't! And that wasn't a great penalty either, but a good save. So, 1-1, but
it wasn't struck with conviction, though.
That's right. So, Taylor now, and it's 1-1. Three penalties left for each. Now, Taylor, the experience of the man. Can he do it? Yeah. Oh, no, he hit the inside of the upright. Unlucky.
That should have rolled along the goal line and gone in off the other post. So, to recap at the moment, the score is
FC United 1, Banbury 1, but Banbury have only taken two penalties, FC have taken three. So, Skipper, see if he can match the what FC Skipper did, Giorgio Rasulu. Yes, again, perfectly placed, went the wrong way, Lavakan, but don't think he would have stopped that. Some height in that one as well. So Banbury now two up, two penalties to go. So pressure on Curtis Jones. But here comes Jones. Oh, he saved. Not a brilliant one. And one out of four so far for FC. So this is for the match. Well, they had a bit of discussion there, but trialist. Well, could make a name for himself.
Or not.
Trialist. But FC, I'm afraid. Well, it's Ennis. The good thing is that our key penalty taker took a perfect penalty. That's a sort of a silver lining, really.
It's all down to Dan Lavakan now.
Lavakan, if he can keep this one out, he can keep FC in it, but then FC need to score and hope that Banbury also miss their fifth penalty. So, otherwise, what do you think they'll all run down the field to the trialist if he puts it in? Well, we'll find out any moment now. Trialist versus Lavakan. Here it comes. Trialist scores, and Banbury United win that shield. There goes the full-time whistle, and FC with a pretty ordinary showing at the penalty spot, apart from Ennis. But Banbury, it was a really tight game. The second half could have gone either way. I think if FC, you might argue FC had the better the second half. Neil Reynolds has to be happy, I think, Paul, with the outcome, in the sense that a clean sheet.
Yeah, I think the second half we made Banbury cross for a while. I think that certainly the second half FC were much better than the first half. We competed, which showed on the pitch. 0-0 in a friendly, you really want a result, don't you?
Yeah.
Otherwise it becomes a game for the Puritans.
In terms of preparing your team with two more pre-season games to go, I think that will be very satisfactory. It'll be interesting to see what he says.
I think playing against the side from a level above and holding them for 90 minutes, I think Renault will be pleased with that.
It was interesting to say in his post-match interview that I saw on Tuesday, he talked about some players showed him enough and some players didn't. I think in that second half, I can't think of a player who didn't give a good account of themselves. And I think the team was outplayed and outthought in the first 45 minutes. Collectively, the defence held firm, and a bit unlucky with the Chris Taylor penalty, I would say.
So it finished, was it 3-1?
3-1 on penalties, yeah. Man of the match, Curtis Jones, a contender.
I'd like to say Tom Murray had a storm in second half. I thought Palinkas was good when he came on, but obviously he only came on towards the end, so you can't give him man of the match. Mm-hmm. But I thought Taylor was good when he came on as well, you know. Ennis had a good 90.
Yes.
McCarthy improved in the second half. It's got to be a toss-up between Murray and Ennis, hasn't it? Or Mirko. Depending on what your feelings are towards playing a full length.
I thought, I suppose you could go rogue and give it to someone who's not done the full 90. Can you give a quick view, man of the match, before you leave us, Paul? So the nominees are Jones.
Murray played well.
Murray?
Yeah. That's probably it, really.
I'm going to say Murray.
Because you can't really give it somebody who didn't start.
Yeah, unless they come on
but
after
it was
eight.
And it was a clean sheet, to...
Yeah. So let Tom Murray in. That's nice for Tom Murray, new player, and he seems to be somebody who's warming to his role in that very competitive area in midfield. Here comes Neil Reynolds. Well, Neil, I know there's always room for improvement, but you must be very pleased with that, particularly the second half. It was transformational because they were dominating possession. So what? Well, anyway, what do you think?
Could you hear me at half-time?
I could. Well, I we'd imagine that you, tell it as much as you want.
Listen,
to reveal.
If the new lads don't know what my expectations and standards are, they certainly do now. And you know, I've got to give enormous credit to the second half performance. I thought we were excellent in every aspect of the game. First half, it wasn't ability. Our attitudes weren't right. We let them play around us. We gave them far too much respect. We didn't make recovery runs. We were wasteful on the ball. I had to make a change after half an hour. You know, young Harrison, you know, it's my fault. You know, he's only trained with the lads once and he was getting hung out to dry out there. And sometimes people go, you've taken him off. I actually supported him by taking him off because he was having a really tough time out there. And he'll be back Tuesday and he'll learn a lot from that. But half-time, harsh words were said, James, and, you know, I thought second half we were brilliant. We really were.
Yeah, and we've the number of players I thought of man of the match. We gave it to Tom Murray in the end, who we thought had a, you know, he didn't make too many mistakes. He seems to be warming into his role in a very competitive area of the club. Is he someone that you see, you know, challenging for a start?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's got Vinny, you've got Ennis, yeah. You've got Smith, you've got Griffiths, you've got McGee, you've got Murray, you know, but unfortunately at the minute, you know, you haven't got Griff, you haven't got McGee, you haven't got Smith. So the lads are finding it out for themselves because injuries are taking place, but Muzz has done really well for me, and he deserves, you know, if that's the decision. I thought the game changer was Eddie Mieko. I just thought he came on the front foot, he pressed, all right, he gave it away a couple of times, but he just showed that energy that we must have at all times, and he for me was the one that signalled the intentions and changed the way we played second half.
And in fact he was on our list, but I think by virtue of not playing for 90 minutes that I think we would agree with you. And the thing about Mieko is he's obviously got that touch of skill, but there's an intent there, isn't there? A determination and the decision making as well.
Yeah, he's reveling in this role now, and he's a lad that needs an arm around him. You know, he's had a tough time, you know, in his football career. But the kid's got so much talent. I know he'll be a hit here. You know, I know he will be. And you know, for us now, he's trying to unlock it. You know, I wanted to start him today. Liv said he just wasn't quite right. He trained on Thursday night, but he's such a talent. But you know, you throw him in the team. You throw Linney back in that team. You throw Woolerton back in that team. You know, you throw Griffiths back in that team. There's options everywhere now. And the last couple of games hasn't seen us as at our fluent best because of numbers been reducing. But what I've been really pleased about is the attitude and the willingness not to give up. Even though when times are tough Tuesday and certainly today, you know, fans are crying out for a clean sheet. And there'll be times this season we don't play well. But last season we've come in at maybe 1-0 down, 2-0 down, because we've buckled. Today we didn't buckle. Coming at 0-0, and you know, second half we're unlucky not to win the game.
And if you must have been pleased, even in this first half, although you know not a great performance all round, but you must have been pleased that the defence did stand strong, and when Lavercombe needed to make saves, he did. Was that were you satisfied with the defence, or did you see him as part of the problem?
I'm still wrestling with myself at the minute. There's Jones, there's Pelinkas, and there's Halls. What was really being said is Pelinkas coming out right back and was brilliant, because people don't know Clive Smith suspended for the first three games of the season. So we've got our right back to play in there. Askew's come off injured today. You know, Guy Halls has come in and done really well. But as a unit, that defence have got to be... When you're growing up as a kid, you make a decision to be a defender, and you know at that point you're not going to get many plaudits. So you know that clean sheets have been the only plaudit you get. And I said to the lads at half time that for as difficult as that was, you guys should be really happy. And you know, I'm really happy that we didn't concede. Even when they were really on the front foot. So, you know, there's a decision yet. We're not settled as a back four, you know, with Clyde being out and maybe Askew being out now. I'm still not settled. I think the middle of the park, James is still up for grabs. I don't think anybody's yet gone, I'll have that, and Griffiths is going to be 4 weeks behind it. But it's options, you know, it's options, and that's the best thing to have. And it's only a couple of weeks ago that I was saying, am I going to get 24 lads in? Also, I've got 17, 18.
Just to clarify, Clive Smith, is that a hangover from last season? Something that he got
sent off for Atherton, second to last game of the season, and he didn't know, the referee didn't brandish him a red card, so it came through the other day when we registered him that he was suspended. So he's got three games, you know, and only Clive knows what went on, but he was shocked, he was really disappointed. So you know, we're going to have to look at another option there. So you know, he says oh, before a first ball's kick, you're already, you know, one arm up your back with trying to strengthen that position. But you know, Pelinkas can go in there now, Smith can go in there now. But no, we're gonna be competitive. We've just gone, 0-0 on a side that won their league by a canter last year in the National League North. So you've got to be happy. You've got to be happy.
And on the injury, so Griffiths, you say, is somewhere away, is he?
Yeah, he's still struggling with his ankle. McGee's done a similar injury. Woolerton's done a similar injury as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it does limit us in them places. And you only have to ask me last week. I was settling upon, you know, a side that I thought, you know, when Luke Griffiths is playing, I don't think there's anyone better when he plays to his natural game. But now he's 4 weeks behind. So, but I don't think anyone could guess a team yet for Atherton, because you've seen today we've got another, you know, couple of injuries, and we're just going to hope that they patch themselves up and they get back out on the pitch.
So obviously Macclesfield on Tuesday be a tough test.
Yeah, really tough.
And Clitheroe, so are you Clitheroe? Because you remember last time, do you actually want it to be Spicy?
I don't know why I keep going back there, because it's like I rile everyone up. But listen, Macclesfield, first of all, you know, we've seen the results in pre-season. You don't put four past books in if you're not a really good side. They're signing anyone they want, you know, and absolutely, we wish them all the best. They'll scoot through the leagues. They've got great backers, great facilities. They probably think they're going to beat us, but we're going there as another test. That's why we put it in our pre-season schedule. You know, everyone will expect Macclesfield to walk all over, but they did. We saw Shields last season. It shows it didn't happen. So we've got to be ready. You know, we know that they'll have a lot of the ball. We know that we're still kind of under strength, but it's just another game. There's no points won or lost. Then we'll train Thursday, and then we'll get ready for Shawbridge. But I've watched Clitheroe a couple of times this season. You know, they're on my doorstep, and you know, Billy's doing a great job there. But I want two sides to be going toe to toe, and I want it to mean something, because it is the last pre-season game, and that's the game that people really say, I'm here or I'm not here. You know, I expect a real blood and thunder game. And that's credit to Clitheroe, the way they play, and we've got to go and match them. And hopefully, you know, I'd love it if we finish pre-season unbeaten and just look back at maybe the only City, Liverpool, and the game today is, and the Doncaster, obviously, as the defeats, and we can build on something. But, you know, I'm enjoying working with this new crop of lads. It's refreshing.
Yeah.
I don't think they thought what was going to happen at half-time happened, but, you know, I don't want to do it. Don't want to make a habit of it, but they know now.
Well, it obviously worked.
Yeah, but...
You know, I mean, obviously you don't want to, but it's...
No, sometimes you just need to know, and you know, it's been nice at the, you know, when you're trying to settle into a new squad. But there was people were told, you know, people were told, and they need to know that you're playing for a special football club, and you haven't got a divine right just to walk out there. And if you do that again, you know, you'll get one more life, then you won't be here, and that's not a threat. That's football, isn't it? So you know, we want to win things here. And disappointed not to get the quadruple today, the trophy.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's really controversial is that their decisive goal was scored by a trialist who can't be registered, and therefore. I think putting an appeal to the Supporters Direct Trust saying that we should be awarded this trophy.
It would have been nice, you know, and I didn't vote for penalties, it wasn't my decision. It would have been nice if you could, you know, at the end of the game, you know, split the trophy, share it, and, you know, it's a game. Now it's two wins for them, you know, it's better than getting beat 4-1 than we did last season. But, you know, we've enjoyed today, and I've learned loads again. So thanks to the fans that turned up today. I'll finish by saying, you know, the ground is looking immaculate, and people may have noticed the paintwork that's gone on around the club just to spruce it up. They know who they are, you know. But I will pay special attention to Ollie Horrocks. He's been in every day. He's, you know, as a volunteer, he works and works and works. I like other volunteers. They give up the time and they want this place to be immaculate. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Neil. Cheers,
brilliant,
mate.
James. Big thank you for today's commentary. Big thank you to Woodzone and to Statoil Paul for joining us too. But we're going to go now. Big congratulations to Banbury United. But very good second half performance, I thought, from both teams. And you'll be hearing from us again on Tuesday at the Moss Rose as we take on Macclesfield Town. See you all very soon. Bye bye.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.